Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 612, and this one's called RMS. I don't know why I'm getting into the whole thing of doing profiles of people that I find interesting, but I am. RMS is Richard M. Stallman. He is, for lack of any other word, a hacker. Now, you have to know what a hacker is. There are two different kinds of people that get confused. There's hackers and crackers. Hackers are people that find different ways to solve problems. Crackers are guys that get a big kick out of breaking into things and showing to people that they can do it. Or that do destruction just because they think it's going to give them notoriety. I guess I've never been a cracker. I have rarely been a cracker. I am more like a hacker. Now, there's many hackers that wouldn't consider me such. Because, you know, I'm more of a philosophical one. I'm more of a broad-based one. You know, you can say, oh, he's a computer hacker. And you go, no, I'm not. Although I do tend to put my hacking skills toward computers, I hack other things too. And of course, you guys read that article I did on it. Richard M. Stallman, and he prefers that people call him RMS, which is kind of his handle. He was one of the original hackers. This was a term that kind of came out of MIT. He went to school there. He worked at one of their labs. He was going to school there, and then he decided that he was tired of going to school. He didn't end up getting his master's degree, I guess. I've looked over his biographical stuff. I think I'm doing it right. And he decided to become an evangelist for free software. He's a man that has very, very deep moral passions, and they're often morals that a lot of people don't share. If you have a computer, you probably have some software that at least has a license for use that he championed and created. It's called the General Public License. And if you ever heard about Linux, GNU Linux, GNU Linux, he is the guy that started the whole concept of GNU. I can hardly say it without stuttering. I apologize. GNU. He wanted to build a computer system that you didn't have to pay for. It was going to be free. And not free as in money. Free as in freedom. You could do what you wanted to with it. That was his biggest thing. When he was working in that lab, he grew up in a time, or his first computer experience was at a time when computers were kind of an interesting thing. And people mostly shared their code amongst themselves. It was a lot of people building on other people's work. A lot of that stuff ended up going into the public domain because it was for universities and government, and a lot of what universities and government do in those days were considered to be public domain. You know, you couldn't own them. Now they've found ways to make it so they can own them and make a lot of money off of them. And universities have found that this becomes a whole new funding stream that's very, very good for them, that makes them very happy. RMS wasn't into that. He's a programmer. He used to program device drivers for things, and he liked making alterations to those device drivers so that they would do nice things that were very important. Like, he made software for a printer that would tell people when the printer was down. It would tell the printer when your print job was done, because it was usually in a centralized place. And you didn't want to have to go and keep checking on whether your print job got done. It would actually come back and tell you, your print job is finished. And that was new, and that was kind of cool. And okay, hey, I finally see one of those wind generators that I saw cost $10,000. Can't believe how much these things cost. Anyway, so it bothered him, you know. Well, what happened was all of a sudden they got a new printer, and the driver that they got for it from the manufacturer was closed. They didn't let him have the source code, the actual program that made it run. He wasn't able to see the interior workings of it. All they did was just give him a program and tell him that that was the way it was. So he was in a position of having to, you know, so all of a sudden he couldn't do that. And it really upset him because he said, I can't add all this cool functionality that we all really like. So, and when that happened, he became really enamored of free software. And he meant free like freedom, the freedom to be able to take the source code and make changes to it to suit his needs. That was what he was big about, the free software. He also, you know, it also kind of went along with the fact that it was going to be difficult to charge for it when it was like that, and that's kind of what happened to it. Kind of the genesis of open source, although RMS doesn't like the term open source. He likes the term free because it really speaks more to what he really intended to be. He's a very political person, too. He wrote some software. The GNU tools are at the very heart of things like the operating systems that have the Linux kernel have tons of GNU software with it to make the operating system. So it's kind of a combination thing, and I hope RMS likes me because I'm trying to say it right. Because I think he is right. I am kind of the same stripe he is. You know, words mean things. Be honest with them, but also try to use the words that best state the truth, or best state what you're trying to get to. RMS, he's a programmer and a good one. He's done quite a bit of programming himself. He has since become more of an evangelist of this free software. In being like this, he has created some enemies, and not just you know, commercial software developers that have a big problem with the whole concept of free software. I mean, other people that do free software have a problem with Richard Stallman, RMS. You know? He's the kind of guy that galvanizes everybody around him. You know? Either you like RMS or you hate him. There are no people who go, oh, I don't know, he's an okay guy, I suppose. There usually isn't like that. Either you think he's a great guy, you forgive him his rough edges, of which he has plenty, or you hate him for his rough edges, you know. He's not very good to work with. He's not very good like that. I remember thinking back, and some of the students of Albert Einstein weren't very complimentary of him as an instructor. But that really wasn't what he was good with. They said he was hard to follow, he mumbled a lot, and what he said didn't make a lot of sense. It's like God coming down trying to shoot the breeze with you. I'm sure you would sit there and he would go, well, you know how that goes. And you go, no, I don't know how that goes. And he goes, well, it's boring trying to explain it to you. You know, and it's like, well, this isn't a very interesting conversation. He's being all elitist on me. And maybe some people get like that. I hope I don't. In my wonderful try at being a speaker, at being a lecturer, at wanting, you know, at trying to do some writing, although I'm struggling with my writing. I used to be a better writer, but that was because that was the only way I could get this stuff out. Now that I'm being able to speak it and it gets out there, it's becoming so much more... It works better for me. I'm able to get more out there. I've got so much I want to get out there. It gives me hope. You know, sometimes you get worried, and I often do. I want to be successful. I want to do well, and I want people to like me. And I feel like that in that, wanting people to like you, that ends up shooting you in the foot. Not that you want to go out of your way to be abrasive. Not that you want to go and try to be controversial, like I was saying before. You don't want to just be controversial to be controversial, because that's not being honest. That's not being honest. If something you're saying is true, but it's controversial, that ends up being engaging. That brings people in. Wow, this guy's got something interesting to say. Ah. When Jay talks about the fact that I think child development may be the wrong way to go about dealing with children, that's controversial. But I don't say that just to be controversial. I say it because I think it's true. When you know that somebody's speaking from their heart, when you know that somebody's speaking and they can speak, hopefully eloquently, but with passion, I think that's when it starts happening. Richard M. Stallman, for all of his faults, for the fact that most of the people who stay close to him start hating him, he has very few friends that can stick around him very much because I guess he's so abrasive. At least that's what everybody says about him. He's a man that has several's more than three. I think he's got five. He's got five honorary degrees. These are mostly from colleges internationally. He has honorary professorships at several institutions. I guess either they're paying him money or they support what he does financially. And hopefully he says, these are the people I work for, and hi guys, you know, does a little bit of advertising for them. I don't mind doing that. If New Mexico State University, my current employer, would like to sponsor Jay doing this and this and this and this, number one, they're going to have to make it worth my while more than, well, you're our employee, we're going to make it your responsibility. You go, I'll only take that if you're going to attach some money to it. If you're not willing to attach the money to it, I'm not going to do it. Sorry. I'm sorry. This is one of my points in doing all this is to improve my income. If you're not willing to do it, somebody else will, and I'm gone. Okay? And that's very simply the way it is. RMS has all these things. He speaks often. He travels. He's paid. This guy is not a guy that's ever started a business. Well, I can't say that. Well, maybe not. I don't think he has a business. He may have started one to try and do technical support. I don't know. But it's certainly not at the crux of what he does. It certainly has nothing to do with what he's up to. I look at him as an interesting person just from the standpoint of saying, Jay, when you go out and you do these talks, don't try to sugarcoat it. Don't try to make people, you know, don't try to please people. Try to be honest with people. Try to do it in a good way. You don't want to be a boring speaker. But be honest, be truthful, and you have to call a spade. So when you call me on the phone, 575-461-2716, and you say, Jay, we want you to come and speak somewhere. Let's figure out what the arrangements are going to be so we can make this happen. Know that that's what you're going to get. You're going to get some passion. And hopefully, if you've been listening to my podcast, and if you need a speaker, I would hope that you've listened to some of them at least, enough to say, Jay, you were saying something about child development. You were saying something about fatherhood. You were saying something about, I don't like getting down to stuff like hypocrisy, for instance, because, you know, We're all going to be like that. We're all going to have problems, but we need to work on it. You know, maybe even being a little motivational about speaking to a group of people with Asperger's syndrome or with parents of that and saying, see, look, here's what you can do. Look at me. Look at my kids. What we're becoming. You know, back in like the 530s of the podcast here, you know, talking about, you know, soaring with your strengths. That's still there. That's still true. I don't know what happened to the people that do that. I don't know if they're still speaking. If they're not, they should be. Because it is. It's so important. My daughter's doing that, and she's destined to do incredible things, I think. Because she's grabbing on to her strengths, and she's doing some interesting things and holding on for dear life. And pretty soon, some amazing things are going to drop into her lap that are going to make her life amazing. And I want that for all my children. And if your children have a pension for that too, I want it for them too. So, 575-461-2716. You can also email me, autism@quix.us. And let me tell you, doing this really charges me up. It makes my day. It makes my heart sing, like I was telling you guys before. It just excites me for the opportunity that you guys are going to call me soon, that somebody's going to call soon from your organization. I'm going to get to speak to you guys. That excites me. And the fact that the compensation for it will ultimately probably be pretty darn good, that's exciting too. Because I do. I want to do what I'm well suited for, and I hope that it makes my wife happy, and that she'll feel more secure, she'll feel more safe, and she'll have more money to accomplish what she wants to do, which is make a wonderful family for me and my kids. And I want to support her in that. I want her to be happy. This is Jay Nemro. I don't know if this one was short or long. Let me take a look. How much time was it? 17 minutes. This is a short one. A shorty. Oh, well. I'm nearly to my destination. This is episode 612. I'm sure I'll have more things to say when I see you again next time. This is Jay Nemro. Life Autistic. 575-461-2716. Oh, that's in the U.S. Put a 1 in front of it. Country code's 1. Have a great day.